Okay, read it, come on.
Well, this week we got a call from someone who was very distressed because of something that was going on in their lives. And of course, we prayed for that person, but still afterwards, I was just asking the Lord, you know, Lord, what is going on? I mean, things just don't seem to be getting answers and things like that. And so I heard the words shaking, and I heard once more, I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens also. And so I went to look that up, and I just want to read the scripture. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, from 25 through 29. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The word that came to me was, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. You know, and I was thinking about our foundation, the word, the foundation came to me, and this shaking is going to the very core of our being. It's going after the things that yet need to be shaken and removed from us. And it's relentless. The shakingness seems to be relentless. I look at our own lives with the selling of the church, with the selling of our home, now with the cancer diagnosis, all the things that are coming, and it's putting more pressure and pressure and shaking and shaking and shaking, until the only thing that's going to remain is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, let us go into the word then. Unless you have something else that's the Lord is putting on your heart urgently. I want to look again at, you say, well, Brother Mark, we've already looked at this number 3.5, but I want to just go through every place where it's mentioned, because it is the most unusual this morning, thinking, what is unusual? It is such a rare kind of number. It's a fraction of a number, in fact. And what it represents is that it's half of 7. And 7 is what? 7 is a number of fullness, of completion. The Lord made the earth in 7 days, and or 6 days, and on the 7th day it was the completion. And then you come to number 8, you're starting over again. So 8 is number of new beginning, and we start and we make another series of 7. And of course the 50th year, the Jubilee, yes, is what it is 7 sevens, okay? You get to 49 and then you come to the 50th. So 7 is very significant. And so 3.5 represents something that is only half of it. And we know that from what we've read in Daniel, that there were 70 weeks to be fulfilled, and Christ fulfilled the first half of that 70th week. And but the last half of that 70th week is yet to be fulfilled. And if we're thinking about God's clock, somehow that clock took a pause. It stopped. And what is it that's going to start that clock again? And what is going to happen during that period of time? So let's go to the Word. I'll go back to Revelation chapter 11. I hope you're not weary with chapter 11, because there's just so much here to be found in it. You look at verse 2 again, okay? The court thou, and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, why is God saying at a certain point to leave out the outer court and don't measure it? Is because I believe he has given ample opportunity for it to be measured, for it to be for those who are outer court people to come in to a place of protection, a place of under the shadow of the Almighty. And God has made provision. So what we have here is a period of 42 months. Now, 42 months is it's the same thing as 3.5 years. You can count, okay, you can count them out, you know. 36 is 3 years, okay, and add 6 more, you've got 42. So that's 3.5. Now, on the other hand, these are natural numbers, brethren. Okay, most of the numbers you find in the book of Revelation are really a spiritual number. For instance, the number 144,000. It is not a natural number. There are groups who believe this to be a natural number. Who was it? What was the group? Jehovah's Witnesses, something like that. They believe that they were going to have a natural number of 144,000. They were going to be a real special people. Well, the funny thing happened is their group grew and grew until they were more than 144,000. Then they didn't know what to do with that number. So then they started making different levels of the number 144. So you see, it's a spiritual number. But this is a natural number. And I say it's a natural number because it's given in at least three different, expressed three different ways, all right? So the one way is the 42 months, all right? Now, so during this period of time, there's a church, a massive amount of church that is going to be trampled underfoot by Gentiles. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time on the earth. The next verse says, now, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So the second thing we have now is another number, 1,260 days. And what we have here is a two-witness company ministry of prophesying. In other words, they're speaking a word. They're speaking a very powerful word with great authority in the Lord. So I'm thinking, well, what is the difference between 1,260 days as compared to 3.5 years? Well, you can say 3.5 years, and you can say, well, it doesn't have an exact time. But this is a very exacting time. This is it doesn't say 1,261 days, which could be, you know, depending on how you count your years, it could be 3.5 years. It doesn't say 1,259 days. It's very exact. So God has got something in this prophetic word that is very exact. And once the thing is started, it's going to be very predictable as to how long it will be. I don't know how we're going to know when this time has begun. I suspect if you're going to be a two-witness company person, the only way you'll know is that you will suddenly find that you have a power that you didn't know that you had. You'll find other people are having that power. You'll hear the word. Whether we know the exact date that this starts or not, I don't know. Maybe somebody will come because of your word and try to do you harm, and you'll find out that they couldn't accomplish what they were trying to do. And in fact, it turned out very, very started in the 1,260 days. All right, so now let's look at this number, because we find that same number down in chapter 11, verse 9. Okay, it says, and of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. Now, again, I'm thinking this is a most unusual number. Why 3 days and a half? Now, we've really got it right down to the hour. I'm thinking, okay, I somehow believe that whatever is going to happen here for these for the execution of these two witness company, it's probably going to be in one location. I can't prove that. Brother DeCille believed that he had a word and a vision of the Lord where he saw something in Paris. Rita and I have been in Paris quite a long time ago. I think we were there only once. What was his name? Brother Wanderwusen from Ethiopia. Good brother. I believe he's living in Canada now. But anyway, he took us all around Paris. He showed us the famous corner where all the streets come together. He showed us the Eiffel Tower. And I couldn't help but think, well, this is where Brother DeCille said this could all begin right here. And you see, you say, well, how can this be? All these nations are now, they're saying, well, we don't believe in capital punishment anymore. That's cruel and unusual punishment. We are evil criminals that way. We can't treat the mass murderers that way. We just have to lock them up. But apparently something is going to happen in the mindset of the world that they're going to say, well, we want this thing brought back. We want that old French guillotine brought back, public display. And you see, what this is reflecting is the intense anger that the world has for righteousness. What this two witness company is doing, it is bringing in a measure of righteousness and truth and uprightness, and the world is going to hate it. You can already see hints now that the world absolutely hates this kind of a standard. They want to give people the right to do anything they want. They want them to be able to sin any way they want. They want institutionalize all this aberrant behavior, all this just everything that comes against the purpose of God and his creation. And don't anybody dare even hint that there might be something wrong with this. Any public person, any person who's running a television program, just hint that there might be something unclean about this. Oh, they've lost their job forever, no more career. So you see the pressure that's mounting against righteousness. Amen. And I'm not saying all these public television personalities are necessarily righteous. I'm not saying that. They probably aren't. But we see the culture that is coming in that wants to institutionalize all kinds of sin and rebellion against God. Okay, so this is a precise, exact period of time. It says, and their bodies they do not suffer these bodies to put in graves. In other words, these bodies, if they've been through the guillotine or whatever, they're going to see this. They're going to have television cameras on this 24 hours a day for 3.5 days. And I keep thinking, well, it will probably be something, let us say, that starts in the evening, say 6 o'clock in the evening, and then 3.5 days later would be 6 o'clock in the morning. Or it could be the other way around. It could be this execution taking place first thing in the morning. And I don't know how many there will be. There's going to be a significant number, and it could be at different locations as well. But nevertheless, the world is going to see this thing. The television cameras are going to be focused. The satellite dishes, the major news networks are going to be here. And the anchors are going to be talking about this 24 hours a day. And they're going to show how the people are rejoicing and happy. And so happy that we can go back to our old wicked lifestyle. So happy that we're not under the control of Jesus Christ. So happy that the prophecy of these people is not coming true, that Satan finally got the victory and he finally figured out how to put an end to this nasty thing that was going on. But it's going to now. There's one more verse here. I'll just read it. It's again in verse 11, and it says, and after 3.5 days, very specific, 3.5 days, the spirit of life, amen. What this is the breath of life, amen. The breath of God, the breath of life. What does it say in Genesis? And God created man, he formed him of the dust of the earth. And what did he do? He breathed into him the breath of life. Now, God does not have the same kind of breath that we have. In other words, I don't think that he depends on breathing oxygen and this type of thing in the same manner that we do. But what God is doing here is he's breathing out of his life, his spirit. God put that life, he just breathed that life into Adam, and he became a living soul. Amen. What kind of a soul was he before that? Well, he wouldn't have been any better than a cow or a dog or a bird or anything like that. But now, a living soul, amen, which has the Spirit of God in him. We all have the Spirit of God, human beings. Brethren, we have the Spirit of God in us. A wicked man dies, an unrighteous man dies, the Spirit goes back to heaven. That Spirit is here. The voice of the Holy Spirit of God. We hear anything of God anymore. But if we're a righteous person, our spirit goes to be with the Lord, our soul goes to be with the Lord, and temporarily our body goes into the grave where dust turns to dust again. Amen. Okay, so 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Can't you just see the television cameras focusing on these bodies laying in the street? You know, you can just see a picture of it. I don't know if I need to describe what it's going to look like. They're just going to leave the blood and everything, just going to leave it right there and make a real example of the world to see what this thing really looks like. And can you imagine the shock and the terror on the faces of the people, because this company prophesied that this would say, well, no, you know, once you're dead, this will never happen. These are false prophets. This will never happen. So we're just going to keep our cameras right here 24/7, whatever, until we prove. And after this 3.5 day, well, see, it didn't happen. So now haul them out of here, get the bulldozers and the machinery in here, clean this mess up, and let's go back to life the way we want to have it. No, it's not going to happen that way. So let me go to another place. I want to go to Revelation chapter 12, which is the next chapter. And we need to spend a lot of time, another, maybe a complete meeting on chapter 12. But let me just pick out a few places here and let us see what is happening during this period of time. Verse 6. Okay, now you know this is the birth of the man child. We have to talk about the man child yet, so we get a complete picture. All right. It says here, and the woman, this is the woman that gave birth, the woman church, all right, that birthed the man child. I hope that we are that woman church at the present time. Amen. We don't have a man child birthed yet, but we are in travail. I think this is what Rita was talking about here when she shared the testimony about the shaking. The travail, and the thing that Karen shared with us here this morning before the meeting, the travail that her soul is going through in the difficulty. Amen. So this woman, it says the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. See, this God has got this all prepared. Now, again, I don't see this as a natural wilderness. I don't see this as a natural desert place. I don't see this taking place in Death Valley, California. Amen. Or Nevada, or someplace out in Saudi Arabia and in the sand dunes or whatever. I don't see this as a natural wilderness, but a spiritual wilderness place. Amen. A place that is not necessarily a pleasant place to be. Nevertheless, what's happening here is that God prepared this place that they should feed her, amen, there, 1,203 days. That is the exact same amount of time as the ministry of the two witness company. So there's something, I don't know. I'm trying to get my mind around this thing. There's something that is going to start this period of time, and I think it's going to be very precise as to the date of its start, and it's going to be very precise of the day that it ends. Now, when that will be, I cannot say. But when we come into it, I believe we will know. Somehow I believe, because this prophetic word in Revelation is so very specific. It's so specific about almost the hour, you know, a time of starting. What is going to happen is this woman church. All right, now see, we actually have another, we actually have three churches here, and I don't want to get into it deeply. We have an outer court church. We have a moon church, okay? The woman has come above, it's under her feet. In other words, she's risen above that. But we still have a woman church, a holy place church. But now we have something coming out of this holy place church that is even greater, something greater than the world has ever seen. Okay, it tells me it's the same thing as the two witness company. But the two witness company is doing something else, amen, besides prophesying against the world. What they're doing is they're feeding the woman church that apparently didn't quite have what it took to come all the way and be birthed. But we'll get into that later. So anyway, what's happening is the woman is being fed, F-E-D, fed. Now, let me go down to verse 14, all right? Well, I'll read 13. It says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Now, you surely know that this is not a natural eagle. It's not a pterodactyl or anything else with natural wings that's going to pick this woman up naturally and carry her. Was it in Moses? What did the Lord speak through Moses when he talked to the children of Israel? Didn't he say that the Lord carried you on eagle's wings and brought you through the wilderness and brought you to the promised land? What, isn't that right, Ron? I think I see you nodding your head. Yeah. So it's a figure of speech. It's a figure of speech. If God has got you carried on eagle's wings, you're going to get there. He's not going to drop you. You're not going to suffer death or destruction. Yes, it's going to be uncomfortable for you, but he's going to carry you through. And what is this? He will, eagle that might fly into the wilderness, into her place, see, into her place. She has a place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Here's a different way of putting it. Time is what? Year. Times is 2 years. Half a time is 3.5. Add it all up. 3.5 years. Time, times, and a half a time. Okay? From the face of the serpent. So there's two different words that are used here. One, back in verse 6, said that she would be fed. Here in verse 14, it says that she'll be nourished. So I looked that up. I looked it up on my e-sword, okay, which is the same as a concordance. And it really means more than just being fed food. She's going to be comforted. Amen. This is a church. Yes, it's a church. God still loves her. She's going to be comforted. She's going to be cared for. Yes, if she has need for food, she's going to have that. Her needs are going to be taken care of, and more than just physical needs. All right, let me go, if we can, to the book of Daniel, because we need to go back to Daniel, because Daniel is the first one that actually mentions anything about this time period. And of course, it isn't Daniel himself in the flesh, it's the Spirit of God that's come upon Daniel. I want to know what is really happening during this 3.5 year period. So we come back here to Daniel chapter 7. And I don't know where we should begin. I suppose we should begin in verse 21, okay? It says, "And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." I don't like the sound of that. Do you? That this horn made war with the saints and was actually able to prevail against them. What is going on? Why? What? Until? Yes, Rita's pointing out. But the word until, in other words, it doesn't last forever. It lasts until. Amen. Until the Ancient of Days came. Who is the Ancient of Days? Amen. Jesus, God the Father. Amen. Until the Ancient of Days. So we're talking about a season of time. Amen. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints. Amen. Of the Most High. So there's a good ending to this. The saints are going to have to go through some real tribulation until, but they're not going to be able to overcome this thing on their own power. It is only until the coming, amen, of the Ancient of Days. Amen. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Keep this in mind now. What is going to happen at the end of the 1260 days? Something is going to happen in which the saints are going to possess the kingdom, but not without the king. All right, let me go on. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse, different from all kingdoms. Brethren, we are seeing the fullness, shall we say. We are seeing the final touches being put on a fourth kingdom that is very different from anything that the world has ever seen. You think the Nazis, you think Japan, you think Italy, you think World War II, you think that they had a system of control over mankind? Brethren, you haven't seen anything yet. And this is the thing that is so troubling about the way that the world governments are dealing with this virus. This virus is probably not a whole lot different. In some ways it is, but it is not really, it's not the Black Plague, brethren, okay? It's not. Yes, it's nasty. But the way the governments are dealing with this is the kind of control and mandates and everything else, the kind of exerting control over human beings, and they are testing it and they are pushing it. Now, there's some pushback going on. For instance, here in New York, at least this new governor, by the way, she speaks just like the old one. She has the same, she thinks the same way. She wants to make the same mandates. I don't know. The only thing we got rid of the other guy is he's accused of doing things to women that weren't nice. But basically, they're the same kind of animal. They're the same kind of beast. You think, oh boy, we're getting a new governor. We're getting new this. No. It sounds just like the same old thing from the other one. And she's still pushing the same kind of spirit of control. Now, the interesting thing, and I'm just do a little update on current events, hospital workers, for the most part, we've been meeting a lot of hospital people lately. For the most part, most of them are submitting easily to the vaccine thing, okay? But there's some of them that are pushing back, and they're saying, I don't know about that. And what happened is there was a group that went to a judge somewhere in New York, and he issued an order, and he said, he told the state of New York, no, you can't force this thing. We're going to have a hearing before the court because you have not given any religious exemption to this thing. Now, I'm thinking, well, what would be the religious exemption? And you know, the interesting thing, I've been looking for this, and finally, we saw it right out printed in the newspaper, printed right out there in the article. They finally admitted what the big deal is on the religious exemption, as far as they're concerned, okay? We may have other issues. But as far as what would be considered a legitimate religious exemption is that these vaccines are made using aborted fetal tissue. Yes, it was right there in the paper, wasn't it, Rita? We both sat there in Burger King. We got a hold of one of those. See, I don't get a newspaper. We only have to get them when we go to Burger King or something like that. Or we read it on the Google News or whatever it is. But it came right out. The Moderna and the Pfizer, particularly in the development, every part of their thing, they use it. The Johnson, only a little bit. So it's not quite as offensive with that one. Nevertheless, they are not giving, you see, the judge says, no, you have to give a religious exemption to this thing. Now we'll see how that comes out, all right? So we're talking about the fourth beast. This is the subject. It's not just our governor or our judges or our whatever, or our attorney general here. in New York. It's about the formation of the fourth beast. And it's not just here in America. This is something that is working in concert throughout all the earth. What they're looking for is what they really want. And this is, how do I say this? The vaccine, to me, is the testing ground as to how much they can get, how much they can exert control over people without people pushing back and causing a major rebellion. So far, it looks like they've got about 70% of the people that will comply. Now, I don't know that they're complying gracefully, but they are complying. And of course, you heard the hospital up in northern New York, which is the one I was born at, by the way. Somehow those people up there, these nurses, are pushing back, and the administrator said, well, we're going to have to shut the whole maternity unit down. And it was right after that the judge made this order. Okay, so back to Daniel. We're talking about the fourth beast. See, these are just symptoms that we can see of the movement of the fourth beast. We saw this Mr. Schaub. Daniel introduced us to him. A man of wealth and a man of influence, putting together this, economic business forum or something like that. Again, another move. And by the way, the interesting thing, Daniel, was that I got that article you sent. It took me a long time to read it. And I found out that this thing started off at, called the Club of Rome. And again, I'm thinking out, Club of Rome? What does Rome have to do with this thing? Well, the author didn't really say much about Rome, but we know that the EU started off as the Treaty of Rome. Isn't that interesting that Rome gets their name in these things and then they try to hide it? They don't want their fingerprints on it. So I think Roman Catholicism is involved in this thing too, somehow. Okay, let me go on. The fourth beast shall be the kingdom upon the earth, shall be diverse from all kingdoms. See, this thing that's happening today, in the way it's happening, has never happened before. Amen? And shall devour the whole earth. It is there is no safe place. There is no place you can run and hide where the influence of this thing will not be. You can't go out to the Solomon Islands. You can't go out to some Madagascar. You can't go out to that little island off of India somewhere. No, you're never going to find a place. No place. You can't even find a place out in the cold reaches of Siberia. There's no village in Alaska that you can go to that you'll be free of this thing. Amen. It's going to devour the whole earth. And the 10 horns, amen, out of the kingdom are 10 kings. He lays right out here. This is what the horn will rise and shall rise after them. And he shall be different, diverse from the first. And he shall subdue three kings. I don't know. We don't even know about it. Now, here we go. Here we go. We're getting down there. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. He's going to come right out and curse God. This system, this beast, this system of government is going to come right out with it and curse what we believe in, brethren. Speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That's happening right now. This is the spirit of the devil. This is one of his weapons, is to wear us out. And brethren, we cannot allow him to wear us out. This is why we need to turn to the Lord when we see that wearing out. Because he will take your strength unless you turn to the Lord And you have to get the life poured back into you. Brethren, I don't know any other way to get life back into you except to give glory and praise to the Lord. If you start murmuring and complaining and telling him and just talking about how miserable you are, how terrible things are, you're going to lose your life, brethren. You're going to get worn out. Amen. But put your confidence, put your trust in the Lord. This is the only way you're going to escape. Amen. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. Oh, they're already changing laws. They want to throw out the Constitution of the United States, which isn't perfect. But brethren, it's the best one I've come across yet. I mean, it's better than the what was the one that the King John had to sign in England? The Magna Carta. I think it's better than the Magna Carta, where it took away some of the power of the king. Well, the king is getting it back again in a different manner. Amen? So they want to change these laws. And they shall be given into, here we go, here's the clue now. And they, who is they? The saints. Shall be given into his hand. God is going to allow this to happen. Don't get mad at God. He's allowing this to happen. Given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Time, times, dividing, 3.5. There it is. It's a number. It's hidden right in here, but it's here. Amen. Oh, I gotta do verse 26 because I love verse 26. And judgment shall sit. Judgment shall sit. I remember looking this up a long time ago. I got the picture. I saw the picture in my mind. It's the courthouse. It's the courtroom. It's a big courtroom, and the judge is sitting right there on the bench, sitting behind the bench. The judge, the court is called to order. All rise, bailiff calls, the honorable judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody, you see, and the court is open, and judgment is given. Amen. Judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now, Daniel could very well have said, the kingdom will be given to the Lord of hosts, and he will rule with an iron hand. But it wasn't said that way. It says, the kingdom shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Now, I'm going to ask this question again when we get a little further. What's happening here? How is this going to come to pass? Let's move on. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. I'm picking up these references to this period of time. Now, chapter 9, we've read this before. I'm going to look at it again. This is after the 69 weeks, okay? The coming of the Messiah. It says that he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. All right, that's seven. That's 7 years. He shall confirm the covenant. What covenant? The covenant that we saw in those first verses here, where these are the things that he intends to accomplish. Okay? So he's going to confirm that for 1 week. Back in verse 24 is the covenant. Amen. Finish transgressions, make an end of sin, reconciliation for iniquity, everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision, seal up the prophecy, anoint the most holy. That's the covenant. And Jesus came to confirm that covenant and to fulfill the first half of that. Now, It says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, that's after 3.5, isn't it? 3.5 years, Jesus' ministry, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate or the desolator. So, did Jesus cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease? Well, in God's eyes, he did. God did not accept any more sacrifice and oblation of the blood of lambs and goats and bulls and that type of thing. But the people continued to offer sacrifice and oblation. Amen? And therefore, it was an abomination, and it caused a great desolation in Jerusalem. Let me go on now to Daniel chapter 12, because I want to find this here in the last chapter of Daniel. Now, there are some interesting mysteries here in chapter 12. Let's take verse 7, first of all. We'll go back to verse 5, just so you get the picture here. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, two more angels, all right, so that's a total of three, on this side of the bank of the river, and on the other, on that side of the bank of the river. So there's an angel on each side of the river, and one is standing right above the middle of the river, okay? And the one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. In other words, he was standing just above the center of the river here. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So Daniel is the one angel is asking the others the question. What is the period of time that Daniel is talking about here? Amen. And of course, what Daniel is talking about is at that time shall Michael stand up. Verse 1, the great prince which standeth for the people of thy children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. There's the mention of the book. Amen. All you have to do is get your name in the book. All right. So now to verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen that was upon the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and he sware by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time and times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. In other words, again, what's going to happen in this time and times and a half a time is the power of the church, the power of the people of God, the power of the outer court even, is going to be totally scattered, broken up, annihilated, decimated, whatever term you want to use. There's not going to be anything left of that religious system anymore. Am I overstretching it here? Amen. All right, now he goes on, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. All right, so there's a certain mystery here yet, brethren. Up until this very time that we still don't understand. We're beginning to understand a little more of it, but there's still something that is sealed until this clock starts running again for the last 3.5 years. Then I believe we're going to see it. It's going to be open. But let me go on and let's look at some of the mystery here. Go down to verse 11. Amen. Well, let's do verse 10 while we're here. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, How many of you believe that God is in the process of purifying us right now and making us white and making our garments white, our works, amen, our soul, amen? This is what's happening. This is why this shaking is going on, so that the only thing left is what cannot be shaken, which is Christ and his kingdom. Christ in us, that can never be shaken. His kingdom in us, his life in us, it can never be shaken. So do you want this other stuff left in you? Well, you're going to have to go through the shaking. Amen. So it can be shaken out. Well, I wish I could just pray it out. I wish I could just say, well, God, just tell me what you don't want in me and I'll throw it out. I tried that a long time ago. Somehow I wasn't able to do it. I had to go through the fire. I don't know how it worked. I just know it worked. Because I know, I clearly know, I complained to God. I said, look, this is too hard. It would be much easier if you told me, what don't you like about me? And I'll stop doing it. What do you want me to start doing? Well, I would just be starting doing something. I would stop doing something. But it wouldn't be because I was changed. Amen. Amen. All right. Many shall be and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So in other words, there's coming a time when those who are wicked are going to stay wicked. We read that in Revelation chapter 21, I believe it was. Or 22, I forget which one. The wicked are going to stay wicked. The righteous are going to be righteous. The holy are going to be holy. Amen. And from now, here's the mystery. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, I don't understand that, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. I don't understand that. I can't find any place in history that refers to that. It's got to be referring to something in the future. It's got to be referring to something spiritual. So what we have here now is a different number. Instead of 1,260, we have 1,290. That's 30 more, isn't it? 30 more days. Something is going to happen for 30 more days after the 1,260-day ministry of the two witness company. After they stand on their feet and they hear the voice saying, come up to heaven, and they go up to heaven in the sight of all the TV cameras. Something else is going to happen for 30 more days. Let me go on. Amen. And then he says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Here's another number. 1,335 is actually 75 more days. 30 plus 45. So we have a 30-day period that something is happening, and an additional 45-day period that something is happening. What is happening in that period of time? See, here's a bit of the mystery. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot in the end of days. Now, I want to take you to Revelation 11 again, because I think there's a clue here of what might be happening, and I've overlooked it until now. Because I just go reading through these things and say, okay, here. And by the way, you know that everything in Revelation is not necessarily chronological. Some of it is, all right? When you say first trumpet, second trumpet, some of it is, but it doesn't mean that the first trumpet sounds and then he stops sounding and the second trumpet sounds and he stops. No, there's an overlap. In other words, one comes, and then another one comes on top of it, and then the third one comes and adds to it. But I believe that the original ones continue to carry out the business that they're announcing, and that includes the seals, the whole business. All right, so here we are now, and I don't think I ever went beyond this point. So we read verse 13, so I'll read that to you again. Verse 12 is they ascended up to heaven in the cloud. Verse 13, and the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God. All right, we read that far, but I didn't go on. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. So you see, there's something happening of a third woe following the 1,260 days, which might account for this first 30. Something really shaking going on for 30 more days at least. Now, I'd say, you see, Brother Mark, where do we get this whoa, whoa, whoa? Let's go and look. Let's go back to chapter 8, verse 13. Now, this is the fourth trumpet. Remember, there's seven. The end of the fourth trumpet says, and behold, verse 13, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. He said it three times. What is three? Fullness. Woe, woe, woe to who? The inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So after four, you get five, six, and seven. So what the angel is saying here, I by the way, I thought the second and the third and the first, I thought they were pretty bad. And the fourth, because a third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, third part of the waters, you know, rivers, third part of the sea, third part of the ships. That sounds pretty bad to me. But now we're coming up to the fifth trumpet, and the angel says, whoa. Things are really going to get bad now. So let's look, what was the fifth trumpet? What really happened? And we're not going to go into it in detail, but what really happened, the next woe was the bottomless pit was opened up. And the locusts, the demons, came swarming out of the bottomless pit. On the one hand, I'm almost tempted to think that it's happened. On the other hand, I'm tempted to say, no, I don't think it has yet. I think we're seeing things that look like it, but I don't think it's really come yet. We're seeing foreshadowing of it. And of course, the prince of the bottomless pit is the destroyer, Abaddon, Apollyon, whether you want to say it in English, Greek, or Hebrew. And we know that destroyer was released in the days of the plagues of Egypt before the 10th plague. God let that angel loose, but he put a limit on him, that fallen angel, I should say. Amen. So, verse 12, this is the end of the fifth trumpet. It says, one woe is past before, behold, there come two more hereafter. Now, the word here was woe to the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So the inhabitants of the earth would include the world, the unredeemed, but it also includes the carnal Christian, earthy, carnal. That's earth. Now, so we've taken, that's the one woe. The second woe is what happens here in chapter 11, okay? One woe is past, that's verse 14. The third woe cometh. And I'm thinking, well, where do I find the word woe again? The only other place that I find the word woe is in chapter 12. And it is verse 12. Oh, by the way, before I go to that, The wall in the second wall, let's look at verse 15. Back in chapter 11, no, back in chapter 9:15. Let's look at this wall. 15. And the four angels which were loosed, this is the sixth trumpet now, loosing the angels at the river Euphrates. Brother Duciel passionately believed that that was the release of the spirit of Islam. They got a little release at 9/11. They got a little release. We got a taste of what would happen if that spirit were ever truly released. But we got that thing back in the bottle again pretty fast, you know, a desert storm and all that, mighty, mighty warfare and everything. We see what's happening in Afghanistan. It looks like that spirit's getting a little release over there in Afghanistan. But what happens when these things are totally released at the river Euphrates, the seat of Islam? Oh my goodness, I you can only imagine. This spirit is so full of vengeance and hatred, and you see what they really want to do to people, the things they want to do to women, the things they want to do to anybody that doesn't believe exactly as they believe. I mean, they'll kill each other for the same thing. If this spirit ever got loose, brother, and the word of God says it will, and it says that the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month. This is very precise. An hour, a day, and a month. Brethren, you're going to know when this thing happens. It's going to be a historical event. It says, and for to slay the third part of men. They are going to carry out one third of the world population is going to be killed by them. Amen. Now look down here in verse 18, and by these three, these are the other horses now, by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone was issued. Is this a second third? Or is this still the original third? Could it be two-thirds of the world population? That's a whoa, brethren. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, one more thing. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 12. And again, we're going to study this whole chapter in much greater detail, maybe next week. And this is... this is the thing where they overcome the devil by the word of their mouth and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Okay, it says, therefore rejoice ye heavens. All right, now what kind of people are Does God have to tell the Apostle John to give him a message to people that are in heaven around the throne of God? No, no, no. John doesn't have to write a message for them. This is for people here, people in this land who are living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus now. So we've got three groups of people here. We've got heavenly people, we've got earthy people, and we've got the sea, which is the world. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, spiritual people, amen? People that have overcome the things that are coming against us in our soul, amen? Amen? And ye that dwell in them, woe, here's the word woe. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, the carnal Christian, and of the sea, the unredeemed people of the world, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. There's your third woe. The third woe then is the loosing of the devil himself. All right? What were they again? The first woe was what? Three woes. First woe was the fifth trumpet, which was the opening of the bottomless pit. The next woe was the loosing of the angels at the Euphrates. And it finishes then with the end of chapter 11, where the 2 witness company, where they go up to heaven. And yet it says there's one more woe coming after that. Now we see also that this extra period of time, this extra 45 days. So I'll just speculate, and I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, 30 more days of woe, and then 45 more days of putting the kingdom under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's going to happen pretty fast. He's going to put down all kings and rulers and dominions, and the kingdom of this earth becoming the kingdom of our Lord. Can I just mention one other thing quickly about time? By the way, do you know that this past Thursday was Yom Kippur? And Yom Kippur means the Day of Atonement. That would be September 16th. It's not that date every year. Every year it's different. See, they you can't mark that on a calendar and say, well, next year September 16th is going to be Yom Kippur. Because it goes by the way the Lord set up time in the beginning. When he spoke to Moses and said, this shall be the beginning of the year for you. In other words, what was the term when the barley became, I can't think of the word anymore. A bib. Became the beginning of the calendar. And a bib happens a little different time every year. And a bib also depends on what the weather is like. A bib might be a month late. So you see, it's not something that man can predict. God has done this on purpose so that we don't predict. But I'll tell you one thing I'm quite convinced of, and that is that this 3.5 something is going to end at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, somewhere in there. I wouldn't be surprised at the Day of Atonement would be the finality of that. I believe the Day of Atonement is the day that Jesus was born. There's enough evidence that he was born in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. He was born during that time. You can calculate it. You can figure, but not, you can't figure the exact date. It would just be such perfect timing of God to find out that he was born at that time. That would probably be September, could be early October. It wasn't Christmas time, brethren. It wasn't December. Amen? December has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. December 25, nothing to do with it. It's all old Babylon. That's what the church is celebrating, these old feasts of Babylon. But so it's going to end at that time. And you want me to give you one more example of prove it, and then I'll quit. Zechariah chapter 14. And there's several other clues in Zechariah that really relate very closely to what we've been talking about. For one thing, where is it here? For one thing, Zechariah 13, verse 9. Look at that verse and tell me what it means. Zechariah 13, verse 9. No. Yeah, okay, here we are. Yeah. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined. Amen. And will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, and they will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. In other words, look to verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two-thirds part shall be cut off. Two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left thereof. I think there is two-thirds that's going to go missing in this period of time. Two parts. All right, now, one more thing in Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. And I'd love to just go through the whole chapter, but it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem, this is the unrighteous, unredeemed people that hate righteousness, that hate justice. Amen. The world, amen, that came against the church, Jerusalem, that's the church, that's God's people, amen, that came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, because Tabernacles is the only feast that has not yet been fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled, brethren, I believe, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world is going to celebrate that day in perpetuity. And they're going to celebrate it with constraint. Amen. There's going to be a mandate, a bigger mandate than getting your shot, a bigger mandate than wearing your mask. And it says, and it shall be that whoso will not come of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem. This is figure of speech. I don't know that they have to come figuratively or naturally. The whole world wouldn't fit in Jerusalem. Amen. They have to come and celebrate this thing, to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon all shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, family of Egypt, that's people that don't want to believe. There will be people that don't want to believe. But you know what? Their knee is going to have to bend. That stiff neck is going to be forced to bend to the Lord, the King. Amen. Not everybody's going to like it, brethren, but this is going to be what's going to rule the earth. Righteousness is going to prevail, and nobody will be able to take it away. That they shall have no rain. Well, that's figuratively too. There's no blessing. And God will force this thing. He will turn the screws down until people submit. Amen. And there shall be the plague where the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Hallelujah. Amen. Feast of Tabernacles. That's going to be the end. Somehow that's incorporated here in some of these final days, whether the end of the 30th day is the return in the Feast of Tabernacles, whether it's the 75th day after the 1260, I don't know. We have a period of time when the consummation of this thing is going to take place. So in order to take place at that time, it has to start 3.5 years before that, which is in the spring.
Right.
So watch your news, brethren. Keep an eye on things. I made a statement probably just off the cuff. I said, we are overdue for a move of God. I cannot see how we can go another 5 years without a tremendous move of God at the pace things are going now. Now, God can slow that all down, but he seems to have given the liberty of things to just start moving at a very rapid pace. All right, I think I've said all I'm going to say. Let us hear what God shares with you, if you have something to share, and I'm going to leave the recording on.
Amen, Brendan. Really, for sure there are some questions, and also, you know, there are certain things that has been impressed in my heart, right? I know that when Jesus started the ministry, I mean, it took about 3 years, you know, before, you know, he went to the cross, right? And, of course, going back with the wilderness thing, you know.
Go ahead, Ron, I can't hear you.
Okay. Can someone else hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yeah, okay. But maybe you need to adjust your volume, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, so I was just saying
that, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I was just saying that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they went through the Red Sea, straight away they actually got into the wilderness. And and in that wilderness, you know, we noticed that the Lord actually fed them. You know, they looked up to the Lord and then he actually fed them. And we noticed that when Jesus, started the ministry per se, all right, as Norman said, right, he also went to the wilderness. He was in the wilderness, so, you know, 40 days and 40 nights. And during that period, I mean, he had temptation, you know, he was tempted of the devil, right? And one thing that was so clear that the enemy had wanted him to turn the stones to bread, right? I'm saying this because it's like so linked to what we've just gone through, that the woman was also taken to the wilderness, to be fair. Right. So, I mean, the question that comes to my mind, how can someone be taken to the wilderness to be fair? You know, you may be thinking about Arizona and Nevada and California, right? I've been in a wilderness. I've been in a desert. And of course, what we are seeing here is a developed place. But the desert is really cold. I mean, nothing grows. I mean, it is so empty, right? So it's a place that you cannot even think that you will get food from, right? But in the midst of that, God is saying that he was taking the people there, right? He took the woman there to be fed, right? So it means that he for sure will feed him. And just as Brother Mark was saying, that he will nourish this woman and to be strengthened. And I believe that we should just be looking unto God, right? Just like the children of Israel, while they were in the desert, they were looking up. Every single day, there was manna. God will feed them. God will strengthen them, right? And they were really strong. And so many things happened during that period, right? Even their clothes, their shoes, didn't worn out, right? So you can imagine that, you know, God is actually in the midst of his people. And looking at what we just read about the two witness, in that particular place, you know, you see so much that this is similar thing that happened to Jesus Christ. Right. I mean, hell let loose on him. It was so difficult the time. And then I'm just looking at people identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. He being the head, you know, and so even when you're talking about resurrection, it's coming up. The head comes first and then the body follows. So, I mean, see, if we die with him, right, if we go through all of this with him, if we go through this tribulation, this trial, there is hope. You know, in fact, that is what we just read just now, that yes, at the end, the Lord will give power to the saints. The Lord will cause this two witnesses, right? they will resurrect, they will come up with power. And I believe that that is exactly what the Lord is doing. But of course, there is a point that we have to submit to, the death, right? That death, right? That we have to submit to. Because, I mean, that is where the power is, right? Allowing ourselves to die. You know, it's certain things will really come up. You know, I mean, like things are happening now, even politically, and so many things are happening. And brethren, we have to react in the spirit, not in the flesh. But this flesh must die, right? So that the spirit man will be revived, will be strong, you know, so that we'll be able to rise and there will be resurrection and the true nature of God will come up. And of course, that is what will really keep us. That is what will really overcome the world. That is what really, I mean, bring us to that place where God is expecting of us. You know, so I just believe that what is happening today is a preparation. And God is actually preparing his people. I mean, there is going to be wilderness. I'm going to see even more and more. You know, but as we yield, as we die to self, as we die, as we submit to God, right, we will see his mighty power. Amen.
Yes. Who's this? Oh, hi, Ellen. Yes, God bless you.
Hi. Well, thank you. I do have to move from where I'm living.
Hold on, Ellen. Wait till I turn the recording off, and then we'll get into this.
Okay.
Just let's see if maybe Daniel or anybody has something to add to it. Then we'll get to you.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, for this word. We really know that Jesus came and he have finished this 3.5 years in his ministry. And he is coming again. And he is coming again to finish this second 3.5 ministry with us and in us. But it is he that is finishes these things with us and in us, because he has the power and authority. But really, that touched me that how can we see when these things draw near and start to come forth? And Lord really put in my mind in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And I think that is really the key, what we are facing today. There is a new king. There is a new authority that is coming up, rising up in the earth, that do not know Joseph. This new king, this new authority that is rising up in the earth, he does not know that Joseph is buried among us. And we will rise up and we will be free and go out. But we are going to bear the bone of Joseph with us all the way. Mm-hmm. Because the body of Christ bear the bones of Christ with them. It is the strength in the body, and he is our strength. And this king that was rising up, he was a new king. It means that he was different from other kings that had been. He was coming in a new way. And this new way was that he didn't know Joseph. He didn't know anything about him. But we have authority that is rising up in earth, that have come from a society that have removed the Bible from the school, removed the Bible from workplaces, removed the teaching of the Bible in the society. And this people that have not having these things in their life and growing up with them, they don't know anything about Jesus. They are raised up in a new way without knowing, like in Exodus, without knowing Joseph. They don't know anything about it. And that is the authority that we are seeing rising up today. It's a new king that is coming forth in earth that does not know Joseph. He have no knowledge of him. He have nothing to do with him. And we know in this story that when he came forth, Aaron had already been born. He was 3 years old when Moses was born. So they hide Moses for 3 months. So we see almost the same number that from Aaron to the Moses was laid in the water. It was almost 3.5 years. And these things is coming forth in the world today. We are seeing these things rising up. And if you look out and really search out the story and what people have been trained up in a World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab, you will know that almost every politically people in power in Europe, in New Zealand, in Australia, in Canada, in USA, and in many, many countries, they have been trained off with Klaus Schwab. They are his disciples. They are coming from him with this knowledge that they are. They are now ruling over almost every country in the world, the people that have been training off with this man. And this is a power that we have never, ever seen before on earth. And it is made to take down democracy. It is going to replace the social democracy with capitalist society. So we see these things affecting every country in the world. They surely, they used this coronavirus to shut down every country in the world. And they open it up according to the vaccine, just in the way that they wanted to open up and exercise the authority over the people. So they are taking authority and control in every country. And we should search it out just to see how kind of these things is, because it is surely rising up. But it will surely go down in one day, because Jesus is coming back, and the power and authority of all the kingdom in the world is going to be under the headship of Jesus. We read in the second, in the 11th chapter in the Revelation, that all the kingdom on earth is going to be under Christ. And we see also that in Revelation chapter 12, that when the woman was giving the wings of the eagle to fly into the wilderness, and she was fed there. Same thing happened when God spoke about that his people was brought into the wilderness from Egypt on his wings. And who was serving and feeding the people in the wilderness? It was a true witness that did that. It was Moses and Aaron. It was the true witness of God that was moving and working with the people through all the wilderness. And they are going to feed the woman in the wilderness. So, amen. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop the recording now.